Welcome to MCBI's 60 Mark, a podcast for curious thinkers.
All right, well, welcome back, everyone. My name's Marina Pullen, and I'm here in Featherstone again on a fantastic Friday downstairs. And lucky enough to be welcoming Heidi Poynter from Bendigo Adelaide Bank, who holds the title of the Head of Transformation and Culture. Welcome, Heidi.
Thanks, Marina. Thanks for having me here.
Oh, it's been great. I'm really looking forward to this little chat.
So am I.
And here, and thank you for braving the alleyway. We always say thank you to people as they come down our amazing little alleyway.
I always look forward to the lift.
Oh, good. It's Featherstone, isn't it? It's a magical
place. Love it.
So, Heidi, we're going to get to know you and a bit about what you do.
Yeah.
And I've got to say, you've got one of these titles that I imagine when you're at a barbecue or a dinner party, someone says, what do you do? And you say, I'm the head of transformation and culture of a major bank.
Yeah.
And I bet some people go, what on earth does that entail?
That's right, they do. But it's then about describing what I do and how my job is to help our people flourish in the best way they possibly can, and to also look at what the organisation is trying to achieve and bring those two things together.
Wow, how do you do that?
I think it's a combination of knowing where we need to get to, but doing it in smaller pieces. So breaking it down in a way that is easily digestible, but also doing a lot of communicating at the right levels and to the right people at the right time.
Wow, that sounds like a lot to do in a day. So do you sort of sit in between, like, you know, the big execs with their big visions and the ideas, and then you have to sort of translate that into practical things?
Yeah, I work for a fabulous executive at Bendigo and Adelaide Bank, and she is able to really clearly articulate what we need to do, but she's also great at helping me learn what needs to happen as well. And I found the best way for me to learn what needs to happen, depending on what we're trying to achieve, is by observing how others do it. So in a lot of different ways, we visit other organisations who are known to do whatever it may be, whether it be innovation, activity-based working, something around diversity. We go and visit those people and try and really learn from them and see how they do it as well.
Yeah, fantastic. So activity-based working has been a big change for Bendigo Adelaide Bank, hasn't it? You were quite pivotal into some of that project. Can you tell us a bit?
Yeah. So that was a little while ago now. So it's about 4 years ago, but currently our Bendigo building in Bendigo is going through that at the moment as well. So Adelaide was the front runner, and it was the first organisation in Adelaide as well to adopt activity-based working. And people ask me, well, what does that actually mean? And what it means is not every single employee has their own dedicated space of a desk, and instead they're technology enabled through a laptop, and they're given lots of different great spaces to be able to work in. They store their stuff in a locker. People go, oh, it's like going back to school, but it's also about then making sure that you can be as mobile as you possibly can be. So it's about working together and being able to collaborate in the most effective way.
And did you see a change in people and culture when you moved to that?
Absolutely. If you can imagine, we have 1,200 people here in Adelaide, now moved into 80 Grenfell Street, and we had them spread across five different locations. So if you can imagine, for meetings, you were walking all over Adelaide. You now are all in one spot, so co-location is great. And we've got then this great, we're all under one roof, but we're also able to move and sit and be with the people that we need to be with, rather than being in siloed groups, you know, the HR team on one floor, that type of things, and the technology people on another. People are able to come together. So really have noticed a huge difference in that. And when you look back before, and it's been a little while now, you can always see that people would sit in the same space. They would have lots of stuff around them. It was a home away from home. But now in this new space, it's about getting in, working, being flexible as well. So people have now got the tools and technology to be able to work from home too. So we've been able to free that sort of thing up as well.
That's great. It's so entrepreneurial and free-spirited.
Well, yeah. I think it's about as well, I think in the past, depending on who you were and the level of hierarchy you were, depended on the technology kit you get. But everyone gets the same technology kit now. And I think that's really exciting. And, you know, it then enables from a diversity perspective for people to be able to work in a really flexible way.
Mm. Let's talk about diversity.
Sure.
So this is another major project that you're quite passionate about.
Yeah. So a few years ago, I was focused around our diversity and inclusion strategy. So I wrote the strategy from 2012 to 2015. Of course, with a lot of people from across the bank, that was approved by the board. And again, we went and visited lots of different organisations to learn how they did it too, and how to be really great at what you wanted to be good at. As an organisation, we've got an ageing workforce, like lots of other organisations. We've also got 60% of our workforce is female. However, you know, we've just got a female managing director, so that is fantastic. But, you know, almost 30% of our senior leadership is female. So where is that disconnect? How come it's not like for like? And given the Australian population is 50-50, well, how come it's still not that? So really being focused around that and drawing on it, also Indigenous, disability, all of those different elements. So we really focused on, well, how can the organisation uplift in the areas that actually make sense for us and for our people. So being part of that strategy and driving that was really, really terrific, and we got some great outcomes out of that as well.
I love the boldness and the passion, and the fact you ask those really awfully difficult questions, and the fact you're not 30%. No, that's not good enough.
It's not, and we, you know, need to be working towards that. And since our new managing director started, she has been really championing that as well. And the things that feed into that, like flexibility and like being able to work in a flexible way, it's sometimes a lot better for women as well. So, yeah, so it is interesting.
That's good. That's great. So let's follow on and let's talk about culture. So there's that famous statement, culture will eat strategy for breakfast. And it's Drucker. Just for anyone who wants to correct me, it is Drucker who said that. I Googled it before I came here. But, I mean, how do we culture is one of those weird things. How do you even measure culture? How do you describe it? And does it actually eat strategy for breakfast, or is that just something that we say?
I think, to me, when I look at a culture can be extremely different across different locations, different teams, different sorts of things. So it's about the culture that you're trying to create. But for me, I think it's more about giving your people everything they need to be able to do their jobs well, and that in itself will create a culture and the right symbols through that culture. So to me, I always focus on our individuals and our people and how then they all come together to make sure we've got the right culture. Yes, we've got all the things that everyone's got, engagement surveys, you know, having the town hall where people ask questions, those types of things. But I like to see that we're delivering, we're executing, and when we come to work, we have a bit of fun as well. And they're the sort of things that I look to as symbols of a great culture.
Yeah, good, good. So it's not about making everyone wear the same outfit or think the same thing.
I think that's where things go wrong, because you want to create an innovative environment where different thought, and that's what diversity and inclusion is all about, where different thoughts are respected, valued, and you're able to collaborate and work together around those things to get a better outcome. And I think, you know, having those things like you just said, creates more groupthink, and that's exactly, particularly in an organisation like mine, what you don't want.
Mm. Yeah, it has apparently a big impact on solidifying unconscious bias. And
you're so right. Yeah. And I think, you know, as part of diversity and inclusion, that's what we really started to uncover. Well, when am I? Is those things actually coming into play? And how is that then stopping from me from respecting all these different views and coming up with something different and better for our customers?
So, I mean, sometimes you hear people talk about a toxic culture, or the culture's not great here, or, you know, these throwaway lines. But how do you tell the difference between just a group of, you know, bad eggs in the company versus, no, this is actually a bit more serious, this is actually a cultural problem?
What I've always recognised and what I love about our bank is that it really respects the individual, and we really listen to what our people have to say. And I think that sometimes people aren't, they're pigeon-toed as a bad egg, but they actually haven't been given everything they need to be able to do their job well. And I've got a lot of examples where, with a bit of time and investment and coaching, the bad egg has turned around and actually become an advocate.
A good egg.
Wow, look, I like at that. Us. I like a good egg. And I think, though, that that's possible. I've been lucky enough that I haven't really worked in a toxic culture, and so maybe that's not great for me, because then it's hard to recognise. But I always come at everything with a hell of a lot of resilience and a lot of positivity, which is one of my key strengths. And I think everything can be worked on and everything can be moved in a different way.
That's fantastic. So, just as we, I'm going to ask you a final question on something you know. Advice for young people. They're probably looking at you and your title and going, wow, that sounds like a great career. How on earth do I get there?
Sure. I always counsel my own daughter and her friend that you think about the way that you are at this point in time, and you have got some passions and areas of strength. So how can you identify that, but also how do you grow in that as well? And I think if you find something and you find an area that you can really love, that's going to really help you. However, you just try and try and try different things until you find that thing. You don't have to, if you decide you want to be a teacher and then you get there and you don't like that, that doesn't mean you stick with it. You keep learning and you learn something new every day. And I look at my own daughter, who's 16 at the moment, and I say to her, there is going to be so many different careers and so many different jobs that I can't even describe to you at the moment, and we won't be able to describe to you in 10 years. So you've just got to find the things that you love and evolve and change and be ready to change when you can.
That's great. Like, sharpen up your skills or finding your love.
And
that's
have a growth mindset.
Yep.
You know, think about, well, if I don't like it, I can change it and I can learn something new and evolve it in a different way.
That's fantastic. Okay, thank you very much. Now, there is one final thing, very final thing, very quick, don't think too much. I'm going to ask you some questions as we say goodbye.
Okay.
But it's been wonderful, wonderful getting to know you. So these next four questions will just be icing on, or the cherry on top, as they say. All right. Chocolate ice cream or vanilla ice cream?
Vanilla.
Vanilla, French vanilla or just normal vanilla?
I like French,
yeah. Ah, okay, yeah, I like French. Dogs or cats?
Dogs.
Dogs, really?
Yeah.
You don't like cat people?
Yeah. Allergic.
Oh, yeah. To cat people. Yeah. All right, Holden or Ford?
Oh, Holden.
You're an Adelaide girl, aren't you?
I am.
Lenny's or Jules?
Oh, gosh.
Or the Rocks?
Oh, no, Lenny's.
Lenny. That's fantastic. Thank you very much, Heidi. No, enjoy your Friday. Thank you for taking the time out with us.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening in today. We look forward to you joining us next time.